We're back on the air.
Back on the air. Thank you for coming, Kieran. I thought you weren't going to make it.
Yeah, sorry.
Rushed in at the last minute. All right. Thanks heaps, Jack and Bob, for an extra long morning show this morning. Very, very humorous.
Yeah, I missed that. But
fabulous music, too.
Yeah.
All right. I got some NEC news here. The next NEC meeting is on the 16th of June at the Green Room at the Community Centre. Come along. All input, welcome, new members, everybody, join in. The Community Garden Party coming up on the 25th of June. That's a Sunday. Bring a plate to share, acoustic music, circus skills with Genevieve and co, who do the gym jam, juggle jam thing up at Barkersvale. Should be fun for the kids, lots of kids' games. Yep, should be a very, very fun day, and hopefully it will invoke some interest in the community garden, which really needs support.
Definitely
does.
Need some thinking about what's going to happen. Unfortunately, I think I misinformed a lot of people last week. Everything was up in the air, but it's still to be discussed what's happening with the hall. Nothing's finalised.
That's been my impression too. Nothing's been finalised. It's all in discussions. And I think really we're looking for people to come forward and put ideas out there as to what we should do.
Maybe donate some time.
Yeah.
If you're handyman sort of inclined. Possibly.
Yeah, to help with the moving.
That's probably one way of bypassing need for heaps and heaps of money. But otherwise, donations.
Yeah, donations would be
anyone
most
want to save
welcome.
The hall and want to save the gardens, then it may come to that. Needing donations?
It may. Mm. Yeah. All right. I've got a bit of a nuclear show today with all the stuff that's been in the news the last week or so.
Yeah.
I'll just start out reading a bit of this stuff. I found this article on the Indie Media site, which comes from a woman called Kim Stewart, who's involved with the Peace Convergence Collective, Faux Brisbane Climate Justice Collective, and the Food Irradiation Watch. Okay. With firm control of the Senate, the Howard government is set to bring in many unpopular changes that do not augur well for the future social and environmental sustainability of our country. One of these is the gradual nuclearisation of the military and industry in line with increased trade with the pro-nuclear United States, who currently buys almost half of uranium mined in Australia. This nuclearisation is making itself felt in many sectors, mining, power provision, military, and even in the irradiation of food, sometimes done with the full approval of the opposition at state and federal levels. Current claims to cure climate change with nuclear power as the sustainable option are fallacious and dangerous for long-term sustainability. What is sustainability? The much-quoted Brundtland Report from 1987 defines sustainability as meeting the needs of the present generation without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. For my purposes, sustainability needs to meet Brundtland's criterion through the five fingers of sustainability: environmental, economic, political, social, and technological. The nuclear power industry fails them all. Can nuclear power be sustainable? The International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, I'm not sure if that's been shortened to a little blurb yet, but I'll just say it like that. The world's nuclear regulator produce a leaflet, Nuclear Power and Sustainable Development, where they outline the arguments that are now familiar as those being voiced by the federal government. That publication continues the now familiar myth that nuclear power can be environmentally beneficial. While it is true that the actual power-generating part of the process produces no carbon dioxide emissions, the supply and disposal chain for that power is not. Nuclear power is not produced in a vacuum. It requires an extensive infrastructure, including the mining industry, uranium enrichment industry, transport industry, security industry, and a disposal process for the waste, all requiring the use of fossil fuel-powered vehicles or else the provision of new infrastructure if electric vehicles or trains were used, all putting a substantial dent in both the environmental and economic sense of nuclear power. What really sinks the nuclear boat on environmental sustainability is the fact that at least 60% of the world's CO2 emissions are not generated by power stations. Add to that the risks inherent in the waste disposal, and all you've done is heap another environmental disaster upon future generations. The mining of uranium to provision a nuclear power industry is itself fraught with environmental problems. Currently, the Roxby Downs uranium mine in South Australia takes enormous amounts of water out of the environment and contaminates it. Economically, nuclear power has never made sense. Even though Australia has the world's largest deposits of uranium, turning it into power will require huge subsidies. The US nuclear industry would not exist without them. In addition, experts estimate that our high-grade uranium deposits will only last 40 years. Low-grade ore will inevitably have to be used, which creates more pollution, CO2 and CFCs to process, and costs more. The short-term gains we might make in mining and selling our uranium will soon dry out, leaving us with a huge mess of waste dissipated across the tailings dams, defunct power plants and waste dumps it leaves behind. A mess that needs to be monitored and guarded for hundreds of years at enormous cost to future generations. Politically, the nuke option might win us some brownie points with the US. Federal Minister for Science Brian Nelson says Australia will start using nuclear power within the next 50 years. However, government's decisions lead to changes in voting patterns, and in recent years the Greens are making considerable ground, possibly because of the current government's lack of environmental vision. Pouring money into a venture like nuclear power is bound to require decreased spending in other areas. The social costs of depriving health, education and social services of more funds on top of the decreased funding already experienced under 10 years of a Howard government can only be detrimental to the security of Australian society. That old furphy from the 50s, power too cheap to meter, has come back in some pro-nuclear quarters, despite facts to the contrary. In 2004, the UK's Royal Academy of Engineering and the Institution of Civil Engineers put out a paper on electricity prices suggesting that the new nuclear plants could produce power far more cheaply than even coal. But tellingly, the RAE has also told the government that it must create a market for nuclear by ensuring the long-term stability of electricity prices. This is shorthand for the nuclear industry's real agenda, a new system of subsidies to ensure it is never again exposed to the chill winds of a free market. The industry even has a name for it, the security of supply obligation. Decommissioning nuclear power plants, which have an average life of about 40 years, is an expensive business too. The UK is currently decommissioning plants built in the 60s and 70s, estimated at £56 billion and taking as long as 125 years. To exacerbate this problem, the only in perpetuity storage site in the UK is in danger of flood from climate change in the next 500 years. If you're still not convinced that nuclear power is a bad idea, take heed of the words of Mark Luzinski, an engineer given the unenviable job of securing the site of the closed Hinkley A nuclear power station in Somerset, England. Hinkley A, like hundreds of nuclear power producers due for decommissioning worldwide, is expected to remain a dangerous site for millions of years, long after you and I and our children's children's children are dead. He says, I'll probably have to go and put a message to future generations inside one of the reactor buildings before we seal them up. He hasn't thought about what that might say to what that sign might say to generations yet to come. But one of his colleagues has. If you've got a problem, don't phone me. It's not looking promising for the future, is it, Kieran?
I'm worried about my atoms.
Your atoms?
I don't want them to break down like any living organism on the planet. Human beings don't have the right to fuck with that sort of thing, I don't think.
No, I don't believe they do either. The issue being mainly that, like Mr. Howard, the whole political agenda at the moment seems to have taken it for granted that they're going to introduce nuclear power to Australia.
For economical reasons? For money, for energy, to go along with the US?
I don't know.
For power, for weapons, for bombs, for destruction, for misery, for hell.
What's going to happen to our great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren? They're going to be cleaning
this up. It's like thousands of generations.
When you actually do the math. It is.
I was calculating. Politicians have the nerve to come out and say we're doing it economically, it's cheaper. All right.
That article just said it's only cheaper if it's subsidised to the hilt.
And that's at the moment. What about, how many billions... How many billion of people are there on the planet? Like, if you've got to pay their medical costs for 250,000 years because their brains are coming out their skulls and they're having deformed kids and there's cancer rampant all over the planet, that seems to me could be quite a significant medical cost.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. It could be quite huge, couldn't
it? Yeah. 250,000 years of fixing up
Do you reckon you could start a legal action now?
Well, I'll
on
start
the effects
suing
on future generations.
Yeah, for the thousands of years to come.
I wonder.
You know, all these power plants should be putting money aside, really, if it's somehow going to pay for itself. You know, we're talking about more money than there is on the planet.
Yeah, exactly.
Just for fucking running your TV.
Ridiculous, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to jump to a track now. This comes from Laurie Anderson. It's called Born Never Asked.
It was a large room full of people, all kinds, and they had all arrived at the same building at more or less the same time, and they were all free, and they were all asking themselves the same question: what is behind that curtain?
Okay. Placement of nuclear facilities will always be an issue. No one in their right minds wants to live near a nuclear power plant, reactor, waste dump, or on the transport route of such dangerous materials. You can bet the nuclear transport route won't be passing Kirribilli House. There are already indications of cancer clusters in areas surrounding nuclear power plants in the UK. When the Howard government points to the few nuclear accidents that have occurred, they are only referring to the big disasters, like Chernobyl in 1986, that has killed thousands in Europe, notwithstanding the IAEA's 2005 report that only 50 were killed, not taking into account the fallout. Accidents increase the cost of plants, with Chernobyl being estimated to have cost US $358 billion, greater than the value of all the nuclear power generated in the Soviet Union. The pro-nukers are ignoring the many small leaks, lost nuclear material and accidents that occur almost daily in the world's 440 nuclear power plants and other facilities. All potential killers, some actual killers. For a full list of nuclear mishaps, Google in Wikipedia and list of nuclear accidents, or it's http two dots double forward slash en dot wikipedia dot org slash wiki slash list of nuclear accidents. Okay, and you can also check out nuclear files in Google and you'll find some stuff. All uranium mines and potentially any nuclear power plants or dumps will be sited on Indigenous lands in Australia. Kevin Buzzacott, distinguished Arabana elder whose land in South Australia was in recent years the subject of a nuclear waste dump proposal, says, "Our land was taken by massacre and displacement. No treaties were ever signed. We have never ceded our sovereignty. Our sovereignty cannot be extinguished. Under international law, we still own the land and will always oppose the radioactive waste dump." In recent months, a proposal to site a nuclear waste dump near Katherine and now Alice Springs in the Northern Territory was roundly rejected by the community there. The federal government has not yet met with Indigenous elders, despite invitations to do so. The feds have already made up their minds. They will, as they have in the past, override state or territory government decisions on uranium mines and waste dumps. Technologically, there is not yet and may never be a fail-safe way to store nuclear waste. Even if such a utopia were to exist, safe transport to that disposal site is still an issue. In the UK, there has been insecure storage of waste from power stations in urban communities for over 30 years with no solution in sight. We hear claims that the technology to secure waste has improved, but where is it being used? Even the biggest nuclear waste facility in Yucca, US, is prone to accidents including earthquakes. Other nuke dangers to sustainability: mines, war, waste and food. The extent of our government's commitment to all things nuclear is evident in the other pro-nuclear activities it engages in. I've already touched on some of the problems with uranium mining for the environment. However, uranium mining is inextricably linked to war. The federal government's uranium mining policy claims to control sale of Australian uranium only for peaceful purposes. Professor Jim Green, long-time anti-nuke activist, spells out the lie of peaceful uses for nuclear technology. The peaceful nuclear power and research sectors have produced enough fissile material to build over 110,000 nuclear weapons. Australian uranium has resulted in the production of more than 60 tonnes of plutonium, sufficient to produce about 6,000 nuclear weapons. Supposedly peaceful nuclear facilities can be and have been used in various ways for weapons research and production. Of the 60 countries which have built nuclear power research reactors, about 25 are known to have used their peaceful nuclear facilities for covert weapons research and/or production, a strike rate of about 40%. Israel, India, Pakistan, South Africa, and possibly North Korea have succeeded in producing nuclear weapons under cover of a peaceful nuclear program. In any case, we should question our government's commitment to peaceful uses of nuclear material. In June 2005, the Australian Department of Defence engaged in joint military training with the US at Shoalwater Bay in Queensland. The US is training Aussie troops in the use of their weapons systems, including nuclear-powered vessels and weapons that utilise depleted uranium shells. Minister for Defence Robert Hill stated that the goal of TS-05 is increased interoperability with US forces. Inevitably, this will include training in using nuclear weapons. State and federal governments have committed to further joint exercises with the US, the next being Talisman Sabre 2007. Just as Howard seeks to override state industrial relation policies, the Northern Territory government was recently told that their decision to ban further uranium mining is no longer their decision. Federal Resources Minister Ian McFarlane declared the Northern Territory is open for business on uranium mining. The mining industry must have been anticipating this, with several mining companies never ceasing their uranium exploration in the NT during this time. And today, both major parties are warming up to former PM Bob Hawke's suggestion that Australia become the nuclear waste dump for the world. The slow infiltration of nuclear into our lives has extended to food. 2 years ago, the federal government permitted the use of nuclear material for the sterilisation of fresh tropical fruits, following the US trend towards an increasing range of foodstuffs being irradiated in lieu of good manufacturing hygiene practices. Today, tropical fruits and herbal teas may be irradiated in Australia, while almost anything goes in the US, including meat and school lunches. Irradiation is a product of the Atoms for Peace program, continuing the lie that nuclear can ever be peaceful or safe. Irradiated food has less vitamins and contains hitherto unknown radiolytic products, the safety of which have not been tested. Where to now? These goings-on may be making some of you nervous. You may be asking just how soon we'd be expecting to see nuclear power plants and truckloads of waste barrelling down our highways. Sooner than you may think.
How soon are we going to see the deformities?
Sorry,
do you wonder how soon we're going to start seeing the deformities and the, you know, the real...
Well, apparently they're already having reports of that up around Shoalwater Bay where the testing was done.
We saw some quite disgusting photos, didn't we?
Yeah.
Hideous things.
Very similar to what you see coming out of southern Iraq with childbirth defects, etc. Yeah. It's scary, scary stuff. Whoa. Where's that noise coming from?
Which noise?
I can hear a CD playing. Okay, I got rid of it. Alright, opposition to these various uses of nuclear materials encompasses the gambits of the peace, environment, indigenous, democratic and health interests of various progressive movements throughout Australia. Just as no one action, like changing to nuclear power, is a solve-all for climate change, the nuclear steamroller needs every one of us to act on it. What we can't do alone, we can do together. That was written by Kim Stewart from the Peace Convergence Collective, Faux Brisbane Climate Justice Collective and Food Irradiation Watch. You can find that report on the Indie Media site. I found it very, very interesting indeed. Very, very good rave. There were other things regarding the nuclear issues which were also quite interesting. Yeah, so keep your eyes and ears open. I think the most important thing to do at the moment is to talk about it, although it seems that with Howard's whole supposed inquiry into nuclear power issues in Australia, he seems to have skipped the whole question of whether Australians want nuclear power in Australia and jumped to whether we want a nuclear enrichment program in Australia, which I just don't understand how he got that far ahead, you know?
Well, I suppose maybe it's already happening, isn't it? We've already got sites and mines and this and that, so one way or another it's come in, it's gone through the gate.
Yeah.
Now it's just a question of how rampantly do you want nuclear waste being thrown around the bloody country?
Well, it's not just the nuclear waste issues,
the
mining issues, issues with mining uranium in Australia. What happens to the uranium tailings?
In a lot
of
ways,
how do they ensure it's not just going to blow into a big dust storm?
It's all waste, though, isn't it? Like, it all ends up being waste, that's the way I see it. As soon as it's come out of the ground, as soon as you pull it out of its natural habitat, under the earth, surrounded by tons and tons of heavy rock, then it's going to become pollution. You know, humans aren't able to control substances that are outside their, you know, it's invisible. It's invisible poison that's unable to be seen. The only side effects come years down the track. We're never gonna know till it's too late.
Mm.
I've just got this other thing off. I think it was Anti-Nuclear Australia site. Apparently. There's been another radioactive spill at the Olympic Dam mine at Roxby Downs in South Australia's north. this time involving 145,000 litres of process solution containing uranium. This was the fifth significant spill at the mine since February.
Really?
Fifth, yeah.
Oh,
that's
my
right.
God.
So as far as safe practices and all the rest, yeah, pull the other one, Johnny. Like, yeah, I'd like to see you working at this plant, mate. You know, I'd like to see, you know, coming out in boils and radiation poisoning and all the rest. You know, there's human beings working at these plants, and unfortunately they are uneducated, and they think they're working some good mining job or good power job, or, you know, good job anyway. You know, they got a job, they're employed, good for them,
good,
eh?
On them.
You know, but
money is not going to, you know, pay yeah. for what goes on in the future. That's, you know, whatever you earn now is not going to make any difference.
Well, that's the way Johnny and all these buddies are seeing it too, though, isn't it? Oh, the money. How can we get our thumbs in a bit of cash today? You know, let's swing some money our way.
It seems that society has gone towards a focus of money being the answer to every single need you could possibly have, when, honestly, life is about so much more, so
it's
much
blindness.
Beyond, so much
yeah.
that has absolutely nothing to do with what you can buy or earn. You see it every day, people becoming depressed and committing suicide, and all this. Suicide rates in Western countries are so much higher than in third world countries, and I really think it's because people think they can buy happiness with money, when you can't.
Oh, yeah.
And all the money in the world will make no difference.
Yeah.
If you're not able to feel happy about where you are and who you are, no money's going to change that,
yeah,
and you can't buy
TV
that.
And having your TV still running in a few years' time is not... It's not the answer. It's not the it's not the all in all, you know. It's really, there's other things to life.
All right, I got a song for Johnny Howard here now. This is called One Angry Dwarf and 200 Solemn Faces. Comes from Ben Folds. Oh, and it's live. Thank you.
push me around, cause I will, yes I will. You will be sorry when I'm here, yes you will, yes you will. You will be sorry, cause I'm big and important. Want every boyfriend to want this all the papers to you. If you really wanna see me, check the papers, check the TV. Oh no, I'm just telling you what to do. Kiss my ass,
Saturday night, Scan.org presents a potpourri of international community and grassroots radio from around the world. Sister stations such as Radio for Houston KPFA, WBAI Harlem, Free Radio Santa Cruz, Hans Island, Redback Radio, Subgenius Hour of Slack, Slave Revolt Radio, Bastard Brood of Che, Upstart Radio America, and other independent grassroots radios are all part of the global network of indie media. Do you want to know what they are doing, thinking, and hoping for? Well, tune into Radio International on Saturday night at 7 p.m. going till late. It is not easy to get good radio, knowing not all is well with the ABC and SBS. So you better stick with your community radio tune in van 102.3.
All right, we are back on the air. Okay. Got a little bit about the nuclear debate board appointments, which Johnny Howard's been appointed Mr. Ziggy Swierkowski as the chairman of this board to run the inquiry on nuclear power. Okay, the Prime Minister has defended the appointment of a board member of Australia's Nuclear Science Agency to run a national inquiry on nuclear power. The former Telstra chief, Ziggy Swierkowski, will head the inquiry into the future of nuclear energy and uranium mining. Dr. Swierkowski will be backed by a panel of five experts, and Australia's chief scientist, Jim Peacock, will assist with the review. Dr. Swierkowski is a nuclear physicist and also sits on the board of ANSTO, the nuclear agency which released a report this week saying nuclear power is a cost-effective option. I wonder, you know, who's he being paid by to take part in this inquiry?
Satan.
Yeah?
More or less.
Okay, speaking on the 7:30 report, John Howard dismissed suggestions of a conflict of interest. He's a nuclear physicist, Ziggy Swierkowski. He's a proven person in the commercial area. He's got strong public administration skills. That's a good combination for something like this, he said. Another member of the Prime Minister's task force, Professor George Drakoulis, is also a nuclear physicist. He works at the Australian National University in Canberra. Professor Drakoulis does not see a problem with Dr. Swierkowski being on the board of ANSTO and also heading the task force. I think that Ziggy Swierkowski is very experienced and certainly will be even-handed in that, he said. He's on the board of ANSTO, only appointed recently, I believe, but I don't think he'll be speaking for ANSTO. He will be being paid by them, though, won't he? Professor Drakoulis has told PM that he comes to the review with no preconceived ideas and he is neither for nor against nuclear power generation. But Australia's position, without prejudging the situation, of course, depends, like each individual country does, on both politics and economics, he said. And Australia is a country that's resource-rich. For climate change reasons, burning coal is less than a healthy thing.
What's a healthy thing? A glass of uranium every day is a healthy thing.
Okay. makes you feel a bit sick in the guts sometimes, doesn't it? He says it is important to weigh up the long-term effects of the judgments the panel will make. He also agrees with Mr. Howard that it is foolish to see Australia solely as an exporter of uranium and not value-adding by enrichment. I've always felt it's a waste that we export materials and don't value-add. And that has nothing to do with nuclear physics, he
said.
Maybe
we could start with wool, hey? Might be a bit simpler. Let's make jumpers out of wool, hey, instead of enriching uranium. I'll start with that one.
Value-adding. Yeah.
Value-adding to our products.
Get everyone spinning and crocheting. Yeah. Cottage industry. Here we go. Okay, it seems to me that selling off the resources before you've added any value and then buying them back at a higher value is not a very sensible approach. Has he spoken to Guns about this, shipping off old-growth rainforest from Tasmania and bringing it back
wood chips,
paper, which we buy?
And wool. How much do we sell our wool for? How much do we buy our jumpers for from China?
Probably less than the wool. Okay. That's a whole other thing, that whole globalisation economy thing is a whole other ball of, Okay, whether, again, that is something that one should apply directly to things like enrichment, that has to be looked at, says Professor Drakoulis. Mr Howard says people's opinions about nuclear power are changing, but that it is a long-term process. I don't expect to have nuclear power stations in Australia within the next 2 or 3 years, he said.
You can't brainwash overnight. No. It takes time to brainwash. Slow manipulation and brainwashing and propaganda. Yeah. It takes time.
It does. It does. I do think, however, that we need an open-minded and emotionless... that we need, in an open-minded and as emotionless fashion as possible, to have a serious debate about this issue. So are we not allowed to feel emotional about the fact that our country is going down the gurgler and the environment is being completely screwed over by someone who's only interested in making money? Can't we feel emotional about that, Mr. Howard? I'm sorry, but I do, and I'm not going to hide it.
People have the right to feel emotional when their babies are deformed, don't they? Isn't that a mother's right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Oh, hang on, John Howard, why is my baby deformed?
I feel emotional.
Can I
come and cry
emotional.
On your shoulder? Yeah. Go and bail him up on his morning jog and have a big tear session at him. The renewable energy sector has raised concerns that other forms of energy are not included in the Prime Minister's review of uranium and nuclear issues. Susan Jeans from the industry group Renewable Energy Generators of Australia says she is disappointed. We'll have to have a look at the terms of reference and see whether or not we have any opportunity to put any input into the process, she said. But it does seem that if your challenge is climate change and energy policy and the interaction of them, that you would only include one component of the longer-term solution is a little bit strange. I think so too. When I saw John Howard on the Late Line, I think it was Late Line or the 7:30 report the other evening, and the interviewer asked him about his why he isn't including renewable energy resources in this debate.
Yeah.
And he had such a completely inane answer that it's just fallen straight out of my head. But he's so aversive to discussing
it. It complicates the issue, doesn't it? It looks a bit strange when you're subsidising nuclear power, but you're not willing to give...
Not willing to subsidise
renewables. Well, you're not even willing to look at it, let alone think about the economic or whether it's viable, you know. How much is it going to cost to build a nuclear power plant? How many solar panels could you build with that money or wind farms or... You know, and then what about, if you take it all into account, let's sit down and really work out the cost,
I'd be interested to see what it would be,
How much does renewable energy cost every day? How many employees do you have to pay to keep a solar panel working? How much sickness pay do you have to pay a sick worker who's feeling sick after working with a solar panel, puking their intestines out? Mm. It's not going to happen quite as much, I'd say.
No, I could be wrong,
but maybe solar panels and wind farms are just as dangerous, you know? Oh, shit, stay away, there's a solar panel coming down the street. Maybe it's leaking radiation out of me.
The sun's rays are coming back at me. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
We'll go to a track now. This is from a band called Promiscuous, a Brisbane band. I think it's that one. It's called Free Float.
Thank you. to drop all the screws. Too fast, the energy starts to spin. What starts to some dancing in the right.
Depressing show.
It's not depressing. It's a call to action. It really is. It's a call to express how we feel. I myself feel a lot of fear and disgust and, you know, fear and loathing in Las Vegas kind of thing.
I don't know. This is really, I think it's a horrible issue, and I think it's...
It's quite surreal, the way it's jumped into the limelight like it has, and the way...
The whole thing of it, the fact that there's enough weapons on the planet to obliterate ourselves, and that it's an accepted thing, you know, this... overwhelming danger that's always there, and it's And it's continuing to happen, and we're just polluting the earth with this horrible substance. And it's, you know, maybe it's quite a pleasant substance when it's in the earth, but once we've ripped it out and killed people with it, it becomes an evil thing, you know? Like,
it
uranium
does.
Itself is not evil. Humans are evil. But, you know,
what we do each day is, yeah, you know, it's our decision. And it, I mean, Mr. Howard on the news at the moment is terrifying me with the way that, yeah, he's taken it for granted that this is an accepted practice and an accepted way to go.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, we should all be getting up and putting up a bloody good fight, you know.
I think so.
There is no law that is more important than all having to be put under, you know, some cloud of poison. I don't believe. I don't believe we should be putting up with this sort of crap. But who am I to say? It's going to take numbers.
You know, you express your voice and I'll express mine, and hopefully other people will join in. And there are a lot of people out there from my trolls on the internet who are very concerned about this issue as well. Mm. A lot of people around Chernobyl who know the effects from seeing it in their children and their grandchildren, children born, you know, with, yeah, terrible problems, thyroid cancer being a major issue in a childhood illness, mm, leukemia, blood, mm, diseases, etc., etc.
And they're only... Well, doesn't it? It spreads. It doesn't stay in Chernobyl. It,
no,
doesn't stay in that area. It slowly, slowly seeps out.
And it's in the water and in the food and in the cow's milk.
The thing
and
is,
in...
it doesn't have to happen quickly. It, you know, it can take 200,000 years to happen, and it still happens. It's still
yeah,
there, you know?
Yeah.
Wind and water moves.
All right.
Moves
now, look,
around.
We need to inspire some peace. Some peace and some happy vibes. We'll see you next week.
See you next week,
Jack
everyone.
And... I mean, no, not Jack. Bob and Michael and the goddess will all be on next,
yeah,
with the Hemp Hours. And, yeah,
yeah,
come along to
night.
the radio fundraiser.
Yeah.
Tomorrow evening should be lots of fun. Some good music and some funny auctions, apparently.
Yeah.
Martin Preedy,
yeah,
auctioning.
Cool.
Okay.
Right.
We'll see you next week.